Foundation presents the Ekatra Dialogue, an exploration of the world's greatest thinkers and ideas. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Ekatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on an extraordinary journey. It's a deep dive into a life defined by, well, radical transformation, the relentless pursuit of truth, and a constantly evolving identity, our compass for this exploration. The Autobiography of Malcolm X, a really powerful work co-written by Malcolm X and Alex Haley, published posthumously in 1965. Our mission today is basically to distill the most impactful nuggets of knowledge, the key insights from this narrative. We'll be charting Malcolm X's incredible evolution from Malcolm Little through his time as Malcolm X and ultimately to Elhaj Malik El-Shabazz.
It's an absolutely foundational American story, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Malcolm X, born Malcolm Little in 1925 and then tragically assassinated in 1965.
Yeah.
He isn't just, you know, a towering figure in the civil rights movement. He was a man who pulled himself from really the abyss of criminal self-destruction. He embarked on this intellectual and spiritual awakening that's almost unparalleled. And the book's enduring power, I think, comes from its unflinching look at racism, identity, and the profound, almost unbelievable possibility of human change. Published just months after his death, it immediately became a classic, really challenged America to confront its deepest moral contradictions.
Okay, so to truly grasp this profound evolution, we have to go back, way back to the very beginning. Where did Malcolm Little's extraordinary journey actually start? What was his early life like? What set the stage for such radical change?
Right, his story begins in Omaha, Nebraska. Born May 19th, 1925, the fourth of seven children. His father, Earl Little, was a passionate Baptist preacher and a devoted follower of Marcus Garvey's Black Nationalist movement. And this wasn't a quiet family life. Their early years were marked by constant, really terrifying harassment from white supremacist groups like the Ku Klux Klan. They directly targeted his father, Earl, for his activism.
Wow, that sounds like a terrifying, unstable environment for a child. What impact did that early exposure to such overt racial hatred have on young Malcolm?
It was profoundly traumatic. I mean, when Malcolm was just 6 years old, his father died, officially, a streetcar accident. But the family was absolutely convinced it was murder, orchestrated by white supremacists.
Mm.
And this tragedy, it just utterly shattered their stability, plunged them into desperate poverty. His mother, Louise, she was already grappling with mental health issues, you know, made worse by the constant pressure of racism. Tragically, she suffered a complete breakdown. Institutionalized when Malcolm was only 13, the children were then scattered, foster homes, different places. It effectively ended Malcolm's childhood innocence and left him with this deep, searing wound.
And yet, despite all this early trauma, all this disruption, he showed remarkable academic promise in junior high. He even dreamed of becoming a lawyer.
He did, yeah.
But then came what many consider a pivotal moment. His English teacher, Mr. Ostrowski, told him that law was, and I quote, no realistic goal for a nigger, suggesting carpentry instead. How did that single cutting remark reshape his view of his own future and, well, American society?
Oh, that moment was absolutely crushing for him. A profound awakening, really, to the insidious nature of systemic racism. Coming from a respected teacher, someone he looked up to, it wasn't just a personal slight, it was a clear message. No matter his intelligence, no matter his ambition, white society had already predefined the limits of his potential. This experience, maybe more than any other in his early life, completely ended his faith in integration, ended his faith in the idea of individual advancement within the existing white-dominated system. It crystallized his understanding that even in this supposedly progressive North, there was this pervasive, subtle racism at play, often more damaging because it, you know, masqueraded as guidance.
So this early distrust of authority, the shattering of his dreams, it really carved out a fierce independence in him. It seems he was kind of destined for a path less ordinary, leading him away from formal education and into the bustling, sometimes dangerous world of street life.
Precisely.
Mm.
Disillusioned, Malcolm dropped out of school, moved to Boston with his half-sister Ella. Now, Ella represented a more respectable, settled path, but he was just irresistibly drawn to the electric, vibrant, yet dangerous street life of Roxbury's South End. He found himself immersed in jazz clubs, involved in numbers running, quickly learned the ropes of hustling. He rapidly adopted this city sophistication, cultivated a specific street identity, even straightened his hair with a chemical conch.
The conch, right. That painful whiskey process.
Exactly. Lye-based. Popular then. Some saw it as conforming to white beauty standards. But for Malcolm, it was also about cultivating a specific street identity, a swagger. He earned the nickname Red because of his reddish hair, became a known figure in the underworlds of Boston and later Harlem.
His street education, though unconventional, sounds comprehensive, but it also led him down a path of increasing criminality, didn't it?
It did. While it taught him about survival, about human nature in a way no school ever could, this period also saw his deeper descent into illegal activities, drug dealing, burglary, armed robbery. It spiraled until his inevitable arrest in 1946. Burglary resulted in a 10-year prison sentence. It was the absolute end of that life, but unexpectedly, the beginning of an entirely new one.
It's truly extraordinary how prison, a place designed for confinement, became his alma mater, as he called it, a crucible for transformation. What was it about that stark environment and the introduction to the Nation of Islam that catalyzed such a profound shift from Satan, his prison nickname, to the burgeoning intellect of Malcolm X?
Well, it was a confluence of desperate circumstances and a powerful new framework. Initially, yes, he was incredibly rebellious, earned that nickname, Satan. But behind those bars, a different kind of hunger emerged, a hunger for understanding, for meaning. His brother Reginald introduced him to the teachings of the Nation of Islam, the NOI. And their message wasn't just religious doctrine, it offered a complete worldview. For Malcolm, it provided a coherent explanation for his family's suffering, for his own lost childhood, for the systemic racism he'd endured. It inverted the racial hierarchy, gave black people a sense of dignity, divine purpose. While framing white people as devils, a belief stemming from the NLI's unique origin story of Yaqub, this mythic figure who supposedly created the white race to oppress black people, this offered a powerful, albeit radical, psychological framework for black suffering and resistance.
That's a really powerful framework, offering both identity and, well, a clear enemy. But how did this white devil's teaching, as radical as it sounds now, how did it profoundly impact Malcolm and the NOI's growing membership at the time?
For Malcolm, it wasn't just an explanation, it was a revelation. He sought his truth. And that truth fueled this insatiable drive for knowledge. He started reading voraciously, copied the entire dictionary word by word to dramatically improve his vocabulary, his comprehension.
The whole dictionary.
The whole thing. He devoured books on history, philosophy, religion. Engaged in prison debates, honing those formidable rhetorical skills that would later make him such a powerful public speaker. Prison truly became his alma mater, a place of intense self-education. It was there he dropped Little, which he saw as a slave name, and adopted X, symbolizing the unknown African name stolen from his ancestors.
A potent symbol, lost identity reclaimed. So he's released in 1952, meets Elijah Muhammad, the leader of the Nation of Islam, and his ascent within the NOI was incredibly rapid. Became an unparalleled organizer, recruiter, speaker, established mosques across the country, dramatically increased membership. His fiery speeches critiquing white supremacy, black self-hatred, naturally drew immense media attention. By the late 1950s, Malcolm X was undeniably the Nation of Islam's most recognizable and impactful spokesperson.
Indeed. His charisma, his oratorical power, it was magnetic. He articulated the rage and frustration of black Americans in a way maybe no one else dared at the time. Often using sharp wit, uncompromising logic, he spoke about self-reliance, self-defense, black pride. It resonated deeply with a community tired of waiting for slow, incremental change. He brought the NOI from really a fringe movement to a national, undeniable force.
But this intense period within the Nation of Islam wasn't the end of his evolution, was it? In fact, what happened next truly redefined his path and arguably his lasting legacy. Here's where it gets really interesting. By 1963, growing tensions were bubbling within the Nation of Islam. Malcolm was increasingly frustrated with their political inaction, and then he made a shocking discovery. Elijah Muhammad's long-standing sexual improprieties flew directly in the face of the NOI's strict moral code. His growing prominence also generated intense jealousy among other ministers. The ultimate breaking point came after JFK's assassination. Malcolm, known for his unfiltered commentary, described it as chickens coming home to roost.
Right. And that controversial comment became the perfect excuse for Elijah Muhammad to silence him, forbade him from public speaking for 90 days. But Malcolm was too astute. He realized this was an attempt to permanently marginalize him, to cut him off from his base. So in March 1964, he made the incredibly brave, incredibly difficult decision to announce his departure from the Nation of Islam, intent on forming his own organizations. This period of independence, while dangerous, was absolutely essential for him to evolve beyond the NOI's rigid racial theology.
And what an evolution it was, moving from such a specific separatist theology. How radical was that shift for him internally, and how did it change his tactical approach to the civil rights struggle, moving it onto a global stage?
It was seismic. An internal shift, an unraveling of deeply held beliefs. His pilgrimage to Mecca in April 1964 was the ultimate catalyst. There he witnessed Muslims of all races, blonde-haired, blue-eyed men, as he described, worshiping as equals, eating from the same plates, interacting without a trace of racial animosity. This experience directly challenged his previous conviction about the inherent evil of white people. He wrote home, profoundly moved, realizing that Islam erases from its society the race problem. It was a global awakening. Expanded his worldview from a purely American racial context to one of universal human brotherhood, recognizing Islam as a potential solution to racial division globally.
A truly transformative experience broadened his vision immensely. So returning, he founded Muslim Mosque, Inc. and the Organization of Afro-American Unity, the OAAU, actively linking the U.S. civil rights struggle to global liberation movements, framing American racism not as an isolated issue, but as part of a worldwide system of oppression and colonialism.
Exactly. His later speeches became more nuanced, focused on human rights rather than just civil rights, arguing that Black Americans' struggle was part of a larger global struggle for human dignity against oppression. He began to articulate a vision of unity that transcended race, focusing on systemic injustices. However, this profound evolution, his rapidly growing international influence, made him incredibly dangerous to his former NOI associates. They viewed him as a traitor.
Tragically, death threats became, well, a routine part of his life. And on February 21st, 1965, at the Audubon Ballroom in Manhattan, Malcolm X was assassinated, gunman with ties to the Nation of Islam. He was only 39 years old.
Yeah, cut down just as his philosophy was reaching its most expansive, most inclusive phase.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's clear Malcolm's intellectual journey represents one of the most dramatic philosophical evolutions in American history. What were the key phases of his core philosophy? How did they shift over time?
His worldview certainly progressed through distinct phases. During his Nation of Islam years, his philosophy was, well, separatist, racially deterministic. He preached that white people were inherently evil, created by that mythic figure Yaqub. This inverted racial hierarchies provided a powerful psychological framework for Black suffering, for resistance, offered a sense of dignity, purpose to Black people who'd been systematically oppressed. It was a clear, unambiguous message that resonated with many.
But post-Mecca, his philosophy became far more sophisticated, universalist, and in many ways, more hopeful. How did that change manifest in his thinking about race and justice?
The post-Mecca phase saw him recognize racism not as an inherent trait of a people, but as a systemic problem, a social, political, economic system that could potentially be reformed. Through spiritual and political transformation, he linked Black liberation in America to a broader global struggle against colonialism for universal human rights, argued that African Americans were part of a global majority of non-white peoples fighting for self-determination. He still championed Black self-determination, absolutely, but now emphasized human brotherhood and the potential for a truly just society, one that transcended racial boundaries.
And what were the driving motivations behind these shifts? I mean, from a child of trauma to a street hustler to a Black nationalist and finally to a universal human rights advocate, what fueled these incredible transformations?
His motivations evolved dramatically. Initially, after the family trauma, it was simple survival, psychological, physical. In his criminal years, it was about gaining respect, achieving material success, wielding a sense of power in a society that had denied him everything. His conversion to the Nation of Islam, that was a quest for meaning, for belonging, redemption, and a way to liberate his people from what he saw as mental and physical oppression. In his final phase, his motivation was an even grander vision, the creation of a truly just society, based on human dignity, equality for all, one where race was no longer a barrier.
That's an incredible arc of motivation. And what about his approach to adversity? He faced immense obstacles, opposition throughout his life. How did his way of tackling these challenges evolve?
It transformed completely. He went from reactive self-destruction in his youth, the crime, the drug use, to proactive self-transformation in prison. He truly learned to turn obstacles into opportunities, used his incarceration as a period of intense personal growth. His mature approach was characterized by an unflinching intellectual honesty, a stubborn refusal to accept unjust limitations, strategic thinking, and an unwavering belief in the possibility of fundamental change. He never minimized the brutal reality of racism, but he also never accepted defeat as inevitable. He consistently sought knowledge and truth as his primary weapons.
So what does this all mean for us listening today? Let's highlight three critical events, three turning points that dramatically altered the course of his life, because these are moments that truly shine a light on his profound transformation and offer, I think, universal lessons.
Okay, the first pivotal turning point has to be the death of Malcolm's father in 1931. This wasn't just a personal tragedy. It was the foundational trauma. It vividly exposed the brutal reality of racial violence. the extreme fragility of black life in America. The family's conviction he was murdered by white supremacists, the horrific aftermath, poverty, his mother's breakdown, the kids scattered. It instilled in young Malcolm this deep, ingrained suspicion of white authority. It showed him how systemic racism operates not just through overt violence, but through the quiet, insidious destruction of black families. This moment cemented his understanding that the American dream, well, it wasn't available to people like him.
Right. And that leads directly to the second crucial event, the teacher's discouragement in 1940. When Mr. Ostrovsky, his English teacher, told him becoming a lawyer was no realistic goal for a nigger, it absolutely crushed his aspirations, irrevocably altered his life's trajectory. This racist remark, coming from someone he respected, admired, it ended his faith in integration, ended his faith in individual advancement within the existing system. It revealed the insidious, subtle nature of Northern racism, proved that even academic excellence, ambition, couldn't protect him from predefined racial limitations. This experience solidified his later powerful critique of integration as a false promise, led him to seek alternative paths for black empowerment.
And finally, the most dramatic turning point, his prison conversion starting around 1948. This was the crucible, where Malcolm Little, the street hustler, effectively died, and Malcolm X, the intellectual, the orator, was born. The introduction to the Nation of Islam's teachings by his brother Reginald gave him a new framework for understanding his suffering, a clear path to redemption, purpose. But it wasn't just spiritual. It fueled this intense, almost maniacal period of self-education, copying the dictionary word by word, devouring books on history, philosophy, religion, honing his debating skills. Prison became his true alma mater. This intellectual rigor laid the entire foundation for his future leadership, his potent, persuasive oratory, turning a period of confinement into one of profound liberation.
What's truly fascinating here is how Malcolm's life offers universal lessons for all of us. No matter our background or circumstances, he was a man constantly evolving, constantly learning. His story, for example, speaks volumes about the profound possibility of radical personal transformation. His journey from street criminal to international human rights advocate proves that dramatic personal change is absolutely possible through education, discipline, a deep commitment to growth. It's a powerful testament that, you know, you are never permanently defined by your past.
And it absolutely speaks to the importance of intellectual honesty. Malcolm showed a remarkable willingness to rigorously question his own beliefs,
yeah,
to fundamentally change his mind when confronted with new evidence, especially after Mecca. That openness to new ideas, even when they challenge your most fundamental assumptions, that's a crucial lesson for our own growth in this complex world we live in.
His story also powerfully highlights education as liberation, his self-education in prison, his alma mater. It proves that formal credentials are far less important than curiosity, sheer determination, an unquenchable thirst for knowledge. It's a powerful reminder that learning is a lifelong journey, accessible to anyone with the will to pursue it.
We also see the profound courage to stand alone. Malcolm was willing to take deeply unpopular positions, to break with powerful organizations, even those that had given him a platform when his principles demanded it. That moral courage, choosing truth, integrity over comfort or security, it's a rare and vital quality. And finally, his later understanding of the global nature of justice, seeing American racism as an integral part of a worldwide system of oppression, remains incredibly relevant today, relevant to contemporary struggles for human rights, for equity across all borders.
These lessons really underscore that Malcolm X's life isn't just a historical account. It's a profound blueprint for overcoming personal obstacles, embracing continuous growth, and relentlessly seeking truth in your own life and in the world around you.
This raises an important question, doesn't it? What are the absolute core insights we can take from Malcolm X's extraordinary life, the ones that resonate with us most deeply today?
Okay, first, an emotional insight. The redemptive power of truth-telling. Malcolm's autobiography profoundly demonstrates how confronting painful, uncomfortable truths about yourself, about society, even the ugliest ones, can be a powerful source of liberation, not despair. His willingness to expose his own failures while fiercely critiquing the systemic issues that shaped him creates this narrative of redemption that transcends individual experience. It invites us to examine our own realities with similar honesty.
Absolutely. Then, an intellectual insight. Evolve your worldview. Malcolm X's journey shows us that true intellectual strength lies in constantly questioning your political and philosophical beliefs. Your understanding of the world isn't fixed. It should evolve through experience, new information, and a willingness to confront uncomfortable truths, allowing for a more sophisticated, more inclusive perspective to emerge over time.
And finally, a universal insight. the unfinished self. Embrace lifelong evolution. Perhaps the most universal lesson is that true courage isn't just about standing firm. It's about daring to abandon comfortable beliefs when confronted with new evidence. Malcolm's continuous intellectual and spiritual growth, even risking security for principle, reminds us that an authentic, meaningful life demands constant self-reassessment and learning until your very last day.
Malcolm's autobiography doesn't just ask us to understand his life, it really challenges us to examine our own lives with the same honesty, the same courage, the same intellectual rigor he did. His story powerfully reminds us that individual transformation and profound social change are intimately connected, that we cannot truly create a better world without becoming better people ourselves.
So as you reflect on Malcolm X's incredible journey, what comfortable assumptions do you need to question? What growth have you been avoiding? And how can you contribute to creating a more just and equitable world, inspired by his dual commitment to radical personal growth and unwavering social justice, something truly potent to ponder as you navigate your own journey of evolution? Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.